beyond the skies. So beyond here, we have the hope of not only continuing to exist, but to exist in the presence of the Almighty God. And this, brethren, should encourage us to savor the undying love of Jesus Christ. Indeed, we ought to have a faithful heart, so that whatever we do, we are striving to please the Almighty God. You know, and among this, brethren, you know, sometimes we don't say it very often, but we have a responsibility to win others. You know, and all of what I'm saying is really reflecting on some of the words that we have been singing all morning. You know, and one of the things that we have said in the songs that we sang is that our faithful heart should lead us to some wanderer that is lost, and we have won. And so we recognize that in serving the Almighty God, it's not only about saving ourselves, but saving others as well. You know, it is hope that as we study this morning, that we will be encouraged, that we will be motivated, that at the end of the study we would be more informed, so that we can be in a state ready for an eternity with God. We continue to look at the topic, the subject, God demands our mind, our minds and more. So God demands our minds and more. And while we see the statement and this concept coming out in several places in Scripture and in the Gospels, we will rest our study or continue our study in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. We last week sort of painted the context in which the statement, love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And we took ourselves back, and what we saw was that this statement found itself nestled in the context that we should be ready always to give an answer. Because leading out of this profound statement, this statement of truth, this statement of encouragement given by the very words out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, that he was questioned concerning his belief and his faith. And he was in a state ready to give an answer. So we saw that the Herodians came to him. The Sadducees came to him. The lawyers, the Pharisees, they also came to him. And in all cases, Christ Jesus was in a state of readiness, resting on the word of God to give them a response. And so it is that the Apostle Paul said, you know, be followers of me, even as I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so the apostles themselves enveloped this concept to be ready always to give an answer. And they encourage us to do the same. But what we are talking about, brethren, is that God demands, God wants our minds. He wants our intellect. He wants to engage our understanding. He does not want us to rely on just emotions. And while emotions have a place, God is really demanding our minds and more. In painting the context, and I'm looking to get to verse 37, we also looked at the fact that loving the Lord in the context of Matthew 22 and verse 37, we highlighted that the object of our love are several. Could we have Matthew 22, pick up at verse 35 for me, please?
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question,
yes,
tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment."
Okay, so here we are seeing that Jesus Christ makes reference to the fact that we should love the Lord. And he says that this is the greatest command. And then he says, the second is that we should love thy neighbor. I get it right? I-R-E. N-E-I. All right. All right. So love the Lord and love thy neighbor as thyself. So these would represent what Jesus Christ is saying as the greatest commands. Love the Lord. And what we are looking at is how you are to love the Lord. And then he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. We just want to make a distinction so that we are clear that this is the command. Love the Lord. And you ought to as well love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So beyond the command and instructions that Jesus Christ highlighted, we are also wanting to observe that the object of our love are several. So when we read this passage, we are seeing that one object of our love is that we is God or the Lord. We are seeing that another object of our love is our neighbor. And we are seeing that another object of our love is our self. We were careful in our description last time to say that God should take first place in terms of the object of our love. And while our neighbor is an object of our love, we made the point that we need to first love self. So that is another object of our love. Now, when we love God and when we love self, we are equipped to love others, our neighbors. So, you know, I sort of spelled this out because we might not have been clear in our exposition of it last time, because, you know, it might have come across that, how is it, brother, that you are saying the object of our love should be God first and self second and neighbors third, when Jesus Christ said, love the Lord, and then the second is love your neighbor. All right, so, you know, we had some feedback, and so I wanted to sort of set the record sort of straight, all right, in respect to this. So what we are saying, brethren, is that God demands our minds and more. And in God's demand for our minds, he has nested this in love. And so he says that we must love the Lord. And so we want to come back now in context. We want to come back to the core of the lesson and to highlight that Jesus Christ is saying to us, love the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your soul, and to love the Lord with all your mind. And so we want to pick up these three points. What do we mean? Or what is God saying to us when he says that we must love the Lord your God with all your heart? Let us first of all clarify that when we speak about loving the Lord with all our heart, it's not speaking about the organ that pumps blood. It is not talking about the various chambers of the heart. You know, they talk about, you know, you have the left and the right, and, you know, the various chambers of the heart. It's not that God is saying, oh, I want you to love me with the left part and the right part of the heart, and with the veins and the arteries. All right, and the, all right, let me not, you know, ventriculus and all those things. So we don't want to think that it has anything to do with the heart that pumps blood. All right, I don't even know if that was the case, how we would do it. You know, how we're going to say, boy, I'm going to serve the Lord with just my arteries, but not with my veins. It would not even make sense. When the Bible speaks of the heart here, you know, it comes from the Greek word cardia. And it points to the thoughts, and to some extent it speaks to feelings. And so it has engaged in it the concept again of the mind, because it engages the thoughts. So when we speak about loving the Lord with all our heart, the idea is that we should engage all our powers. We should engage all our faculties. So the heart here is still leaning and edging towards our understanding and our minds. You know, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, the same concept comes out that we should love. And then it speaks to the fact that we should love more than. Because let us not miss it that when we say, or we see in Matthew chapter 22, that we should love the Lord with all our heart, it is demanding everything. And so in Matthew 10 and verse 37, it says,
he that loveth father,
he that loves,
loveth father or mother,
father
or mother,
mother,
more than me,
more than
me.
And so what it is saying is that as we engage our hearts in the love process, that the love should be more than. The love for Jesus, the love for God, and the love for things spiritual should be more than that which we have for our biological relationships. So we should love them, we should love God more than all other beings. We should love God more than anything else. We should love the Lord with all our hearts. You know, the concept continues through in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 when it talks about let us set our affections on things above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, you know, it says not only that you should set your affection on things above, but it makes some clarification, you know. It says not on things on the earth. Are you there? Read it for us.
Set your affection.
Set your affection, it says.
On things above.
On things above.
Not on things on the
not
earth.
Not on things on the earth. And so, again, here we see the concept. Set your affection. Set your heart. But then, it is not that pumping heart. But it is still leaning towards the very mind. Because when we speak about the affection, it is still talking about the exercise of the mind. You know, sometimes when we, if we just think about affection, then we again zero in on the emotion of things. How I feel. But even as we rely on our affection, we should recognize that it is really still exercising the mind. You know, how many of us have been in situations where we feel strongly about someone? Our emotion reaches out to someone, but then our minds come into play. And so we have to exercise our thoughts concerning the matter at hand. And so for some, you may, you know, and some persons are looking for spouses. And sometimes in the look for a partner, we have the emotions ripe, the affection and the feelings are attuned. But then when we think about certain things, we say it might not be wise to get involved with this person because of how they feel about God, because of how they feel about church and Christianity. So you find that your affection becomes managed by the mind and the exercise of the mind. There are many who have reached a place in their relationship with others, close relationship, their children, their siblings, where because of habits that have been developed, they reach a point where even though they feel deeply for that son, deeply for that daughter, deeply for that sister and brother, but because of their ways, their habits, their actions, then the exercise of the mind will curtail the way your affection is meted out to them. Am I making myself clear? Can I spell it out some more? Because sometimes you might have a child in the house or someone under your roof, but they are not subject to your teachings. And so you have to give an ultimatum: conform or leave. It is not that we no longer love and have affection for the person, but you are adhering to some principles under your roof. Can I speak to you a little clearer again? A person might get themselves mixed up in drugs. And if you continue to just let your emotion guide you, they will continue to mash up themselves and mash you up, because they will sell everything out of your house to get a fix. And so even though you love them to the core, the exercise of the mind will be of such that you have to take a stand. And so you do not show affection in that way. You know, and I'm very sort of careful and guarded even as I say that. You know, because guess what? Sometimes, oftentimes, it is because of your care for the person why you take that stand. Why you take that position that you cannot stay in here. So that the person can come to their senses. You know, because you care for the other. But guess what? Don't even feel bad if that's not the case. Because remember what we just highlighted? You have to first love self. So for your own peace of mind, you have to take a stand to help yourself. Because while that person is in your presence and in your surroundings, they are probably eating at you. So you become irritable. You yourself might end up losing your own soul. So you guess what? You have to first love yourself so that you can be of help to others. And we could go on using different illustrations. You know, even in the church, it may seem at times that when the church takes a stand, we are heartless. We are uncaring. How can you, as a church, a person has been overcome by the devil, left the church, and then the church is going to take the stand, we are no longer treating you as a brother? That's harsh. Well, what has the church done? Has the church tried to encourage you? Have you been encouraged to come back to the fold and to give up the wrong way? To the extent that the church has done that and has now reached the stage where we are now going to be treating you as an infidel, as one who is a sinner, no longer a part of the fellowship, that may very well be affection at its highest point. How so? By not condoning the wrong, it will help to bring the brother and the sister to a realization that things are not the same. And so they can come recognize and see themselves and come back home. So what are we talking about? Loving the Lord with all our heart. When we love with all our heart, it is not pure emotion. Yes, feelings are at play, but it is feelings and affection that is molded by thought. God demands even as we talk about loving him with all our hearts, it is demanding that our minds be engaged. You know, the idea too behind loving the Lord with all our hearts conveys that at his command, we must be willing to give up on all that is dear to us. You know, we probably sometimes struggle to think, I know I'm in that place. You know, where at my age, I think I'm fortunate. I still have my mother and my father alive. I know many of us can't say that, you know. I am fortunate to have been old enough to remember clearly all my grandparents in a strong way. Can remember and relate to things that I did with them. So I consider myself fortunate. But you know, it's sometimes if I carry my mind there, it shudders me to think, you know, that I at some point I won't have my mother and my father around. You know, and guess what? It might not even work that way, though. Our whole life stay. Even though the natural sequence of things is that, it is possible that I go before them. And then, you know, if I go and say something like that, they're going to say, boy, what are you talking about? they don't want to think about that. But where we're going is that at God's command, at God's instruction, we must be prepared to give up all that is dear to us. So, going back to the passage, love more than, we must be prepared to give up everything. All other beings, every other thing at God's command. You know, sometimes we might find ourselves, whether we are coming into the church and there were certain jobs that we were doing, activities we were involved in, that we sometimes have to give up for God. You may take on a job, and when you take it on, you realize that it is carrying you in a direction that runs contrary to the will of God, and you have to give it up. Why? Because this is against the nature and the command of the Almighty God. Not always easy. You know, you might be out there a long time looking for employment, and you finally get something. You apply to something in the Gleaner, and you didn't even know where you were applying to. You know, but what they say you're supposed to do, you know, seem right aligned with your skills, and you apply. And when they call you, you realize, you know, that it is a gambling house. And you want the money. The bills are there. What do you do? At his command, we must be willing to give up on all that is important to us. That's what the idea of loving the Lord with all your heart. We must give all. We must be prepared to love the Lord more than all. We need to set our affection on him, on things concerning heaven and God. And at his command, we should give up anything that is dear to us. You know, if you love me, says scripture, then keep my commandments. Let me move on to the soul. Because what did Matthew say again? Matthew 22:37. our basics. Love the Lord with all thy heart,
a soul,
with all thy soul,
and with all thy mind,
and with all thy mind. And what are we examining? God demands our minds and more. And so we are seeing that the heart, though it has idea, feelings, and emotions, are in fact hinged and tied to the mind. But not only should we love the Lord with all our hearts, but we should love the Lord with all our soul. Now the idea of soul, the word soul, it's used both in the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Hebrew, nefesh. In the New Testament, Greek, psuche. All right, and I'll put disclaimer that I might not be pronouncing these two proper. All right, so, but these two words has the idea of breath, the idea of life. You know, it is the same word that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says that God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And so the idea is that us being, we as humans existing, we having had the breath of life, then as far as our directive to love the Lord, we should love him with all our being. We should love him with our everything. We should be willing to give up our very life, our very being for God. So when we say that we should love the Lord with all our soul, then we should devote our life to God's service. Easily said. Is it easily done? The idea of life, of having life, having being, and that we should love the Lord with all our soul, all our life, is that we should have a focus on God and the service of God. You know, remember I drew your attention at the start concerning a song that we were singing? That we should be faithful to the Almighty God, and that we should always be seeking. We should be continuous in our effort to seek the wanderer, to seek the lost, and to win them. So our lives should be devoted towards winning others for Jesus Christ. That's part of it. Service to the Almighty God. What are you doing for God? Well, I'm up here teaching. Are you in the pews saying amen to help the preaching? To what extent are we evangelizing persons in our circle, in our sphere? We should be willing when we say we love the Lord with all our soul. Our life is no longer ours. That's what we're saying. It is for the purpose of God. So having a family is just a means to our devotion to God. Having a job is just a means to help us along our devotion to God. Having various talents and exercising them, it's just a means to get us to be able to devote ourselves to the Almighty God. We should not get it all confused. And it's easy. The devil does that. Remember what he did with Jesus? Took him up to a high mountain and show him the things that already belong to him. And say, if you worship me, then I'll give these to you. The devil trickify bad, you know. Have it all mixed up. So we know, instead of devoting and giving premium to serving God, pleasing Him, ensuring that the work of the ministry continues in us, we get sidetracked with our jobs. We get sidetracked with family things, with studying. These are important, you know. But our focus should be on serving the Almighty God. That's what we are saying when we say we are loving the Lord with all our soul. But let me fix that up. It's not that we are saying that we should love the Lord with all our soul. It is Jesus Christ who has said, love me with all your soul, with all your being, with all your life, with all that you have. When our breath and our life leaves us, then in this world, that's the first death. But it's saying, while there is breath in us, we should give that our all. And we have already highlighted the concept of that all. The concept of the all is really that everything else should come secondary. And that it is scoped and directed in that we should love God more than. And so we must, and I don't want anybody to leave here with the concept that, oh, I must give God with all my soul so I don't business with nobody. Because I'm just devoted to God. And so, you know, like those priests and so forth that step past the man in trouble. Yeah, and then the Good Samaritan, you know, remember that Good Samaritan thing? Everybody just pass. We don't care about anybody else because I'm just devoted to God. You know, the concept of the monks. The monks? We know monks? You know, they shave their head, they go live up in a mountain, and they just meditate on God all day. That's not the concept. We still have to be among others. In fact, you can't be away from everybody. Deep meditation and no interaction with others and be pleasing to God. Because we are really on a mission. We are on a mission to save others. So when you take away yourself, it's who you're going to be teaching. You know, we have to think about that. And how can you help others when you cannot help yourself? You remember we spoke about, again, you can't feed somebody from an empty cup. How are you going to fulfill the law of God to say, you know, love one another and, you know, and be kind one to another, when you are going to be so devoted to God that you're not even going to try to work? So from what will you help others? When the Bible instructs us that we should give to the cause of Christ, how are you going to give when you have nothing? So we still have to work. But the idea for emphasis, I repeat, When we say that we should love the Lord with all our soul, it is to embody that willingness to give up our very life for God and to God, to devote our life to His service and to live to Him. In fact, let's read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, you know, as we wrap up this point. And let me see where we are. You know, we will leave this for another lesson. But it is the concept of the soul is something that we should probably delve in a little. You know, because there are religious persons who claim that they have seen God, or they have witnessed God, they have witnessed Yahweh, they have witnessed Jehovah. Jehovah Witnesses, they say they are. That will tell us that we are souls. But they would not understand too that in addition to being a soul, that we also have a soul. So beyond being living souls and being souls in that concept, that we also have a soul that never dies. That even when the life that we now have had been separated in terms of the spirit being separated from the body, that there is a part of us that continues to live on. Oh, but I did say that's another lesson. So let's go back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20.
According to my earnest expectation and my hope, mm-hmm. that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
So whether it be life or death, we are going to have a focus towards Jesus Christ. Let me again hasten to highlight that even in us saying that we love the Lord with all our soul, with all our life, notice the emphasis I've been placing on a willingness to. A willingness to give up life to God and for God. To devote, a willingness to devote life to God's service. A willingness to live to Him, as we have just read. Notice that even in us making such a decision, that if it is even death in our service to God, we are going to die. It should not be an emotional decision. It is a willingness to. It is a thought process. It is your way and saying, in this situation, God, I am going to put you first. Amen. Even if it means death. And so what we are seeing here again, as we saw with the heart, is that it is not emotion. It is a matter of the will. It is a matter of a decision. And so when we say that God demands our minds and more, even in saying love the Lord with all your heart and love the Lord with all your soul, we should realize, brethren, that it is still an engagement of the mind. It is still relying on us understanding and giving thought to what is being demanded of us. When Stephen was stoned to death, when the apostles who, you know, some were sawn asunder, When they did so, it was not because they were just wanting to be martyrs and anticipated that they would make their name continue through the ages. No. It was a decision that God would come first, even if we have to give up our life. I don't know to what extent in our lifetime we will find ourselves in that situation where to come out to worship God may mean that we have to give up our life. We are fortunate to be in an existence, in a space, in a place where we can freely come out to worship the Almighty God. It is, we live in a society where even though you might have the exception, we live in a world, in a nation, where it is seen as a good thing you're going to church. But what if, in coming out to worship the Almighty God, we were at the risk of being killed? And I'm not even making reference to the recent event that we would have heard last week. Was last week? Yes. Where a person in a place of worship and killed. But that, even that demonstrates to us, you know, the way it shocked us, that we do not expect that in the world that we live. So it shocked that this thing could have happened. But yes, it can happen. But I'm not even talking about that. We should be prepared to take a stand for Jesus Christ, even if it goes to the ultimate of giving our life. You know, and some of us, whether it is that we'll probably never get to that stage, right? And I don't really want to really have to reach that stage. But if it gets there, that's what, with all our souls being, to give up our very life. But watch this now. I have to wake up early tomorrow morning, a little earlier than normal. So I need to get as much rest today. So I'm not going to come to church. Is that life that you know? If life up here is a 100%, with all your soul, then that I have a job interview tomorrow, so I want to feel well rested, so I don't come to church. That's a job interview. Well, I want some extra money. And so I go begging for some overtime so I can work on Sunday to get the extra money. I'm not really putting them in any order, but, you know. So, overtime. Some overtime money. Remember what Christ demands. He demands all our soul, our very life. If that is at 100%, where do these things fall? So if he's demanding that, then what are we talking about? The importance of setting aside some time to study God's word. Not even a whole heap of time, you know. Just some time for personal study. A way below 100%. That's what God tells you to aim at. But we, our foot are buckled under some of these smaller things. But we are in our minds, we are saying, I am willing, I love the Lord with all my soul. I am willing to give up my life. You know, I think it's Brother Fisher used that illustration. Sometimes we're waiting to be Daniel in the lion's den. But we're not give out no traps with dog a bark. But give me like David. I want my Goliath. But me sneeze. And I'm not even going to talk about COVID time. Me sneeze. Oh, me can't go to church today. My belly hurt me. Can't go to church today. I have to go to work. Sneeze enough time. Nose and run. I can't work. May I talk of the thing straight? With all our souls has a big demand. But let us again recognize that when we talk about with all our soul, it is not just based on how we're feeling. But it is a decision that we have made. It is a decision that we have made. I'm not going to be touching. And somebody might say, but Brother Webb, you'll probably finish up the lesson because, you know, you spoke about last time, you know, ready to give an answer and that engaged the mind. You spoke today about the heart and you said that, you know, it's emotions at play and it is the feelings at play, but it is also the mind. I know you talk about the soul and you tie that to the willingness too. Showing that the willingness to die and to live and to devote yourself to God is one that engages the will and the mind and the understanding as well. So you have finished the lesson because God demands our minds and more. But when we come back, God's willing, we want to move to a conclusion because even though the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, speaking, said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, he still said, and with all your mind. How could that be? Is that something different? You want to know what that is? Come back next week. All right, come back next week. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to ask the song leader to give us the song of the number for the song of invitation. Song number 98. That's the song we're going to sing. Song number 98. But when he comes, we want to just encourage you to embrace today. That which God has demanded. To love him with all our heart. To love him with all our soul. And to love him with all our mind. Let us be standing.